come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded teaching from the Heart to Heart online summer series titled In Our Home. More information about this series is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
In the way of announcements, on Wednesday night, join us out here on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. There's going to be tacos, there's going to be a taco truck, there's coffee for purchase, and we have a great concert, and I'm sorry, I don't know. And whoever it is, they're going to be amazing. So you want to come, and you want to see what's going on Wednesday night. It's really a great time to get together. And those of you who didn't hear online last week, I talked about the importance of us doing things together. Make sure you are doing things together. Keep doing things together. We're in for a long haul, from what I heard yesterday. So because of that, I want to encourage you to do as much as you can, as often as you can, with as many as you can, without causing trouble. How does that sound? Does that sound okay? And please be praying for John MacArthur. I know some of you may know that they're talking about fining him big time, or even arresting him for holding church indoors. I don't know any, that's what I know. That's all I know about it. But please be praying for pastors that they would walk in wisdom, that they would seek the Lord's direction in everything that they do, in every decision that they make. So men's meeting here Thursday night, right here. August 29th for husbands or brothers or friends, male friends. Men's breakfast here at 8 a.m. Tickets will be available. Land of Color is doing, you guys know Land of Color. We can't really show you anything about Land of Color in the daytime because you can't see any of the color at all. So they're doing an online online concert. So if you go to refugefamily.com, that announcement should be up there, and you can find out more information on how to get tickets. Be sure to join us at 9 o'clock for the baptisms. Baptism is going to be this Sunday at 9 a.m. only. People who are being baptized have already gone to the class last week, so everybody knows what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it, and everything's under control. So we do need some people that would be interested in volunteering to be a part of our prayer team here at Refuge. If you would like to be some of those people that pray after the services with people, we would love to have you let us know that you're available and get you signed up. Make sure that you've taken the class, this place called Refuge, and get you going on that, because we need all the people we can get for prayer, okay? And we're going to have our women's Bible study is going to start up on September 15th. It's going to be interesting. Pray for us that are leaders, that we would, again, that we would seek the Lord in every decision that we make, because we need to know, how are we to do this Bible study? We know that we're to do the Bible study. That we know. We know we're going to do it in the morning. We know we're going to do it in the evening. We need some direction on how that's going to happen. If you would do me a favor, it's going to be on 1st and 2nd Timothy. 1st and 2nd Timothy. God's got this. In 2nd Timothy, it starts with, I can't even remember the scripture that means so much to me. Go. What did I tell you yesterday? What? You know what? No. But here's what I'll do. I'll open my Bible. It can be done. I know whom I have believed. I don't know about him. I don't know just of him. I know him intimately. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And so that's the title of our study, I Know Whom I Believed, and that is our scripture, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. He is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day, until he comes. So we've got that all together. So I need some help from you ladies. I need to know, first of all, you can, if you want to email me, joy@refugefamily.com, joy@refugefamily.com, or if you want to call the church office, we need to know, would you be interested in having a physical Bible study book? And if you would like to have a physical full book that you can take home with you and do all the things with, we need to know, how would you like to get that book? Would you come and pick it up? Would you get it at the day that you come here? Would you like it mailed to you? Or would you like to pick up lessons once a week online? If you would like to pick up lessons once a week online, you would have to print them out. Whether or not, I don't know anything about whether or not you can fill them out online. You know me, I'm not that tech savvy. So, but let me know your thoughts. Please let me know as soon as possible what your thoughts are. We are happy over the summer program. We delivered them to your house, and what a great time that was to deliver all of the Bible studies to different people's houses, and it was very exciting. So, I need to know what you want to do with all of that. So, Shannon Jackson is going to be our speaker for today, and we are excited to have her. So, as she's coming up, she's not coming up right now because we're going to do a video right now. Get it all together, can't find out where it's at. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father. I thank you that even though we're looking at what people say, there is no hope. Lord, that we don't lose hope. You are our anchor of hope, Lord. That you have us, that you have protected us, that you are going before us, you're going behind us, you're on either side of us. And Lord, we're just so privileged to be here today. We're privileged to be connected via the internet, Lord, to be able to be a part of this study. You, God, have got this. We know that you are in complete control. We want to bless you, honor you, and just we want to walk with you today, Lord. I pray, Father, for your anointing on Shannon as she teaches today. And we pray, Father, that we would hear the things that you have to say. And even as this video comes up, this music video that comes up, remind us, Lord, that you are coming. You are coming for us. And you are coming for your church. You are coming for those who love your appearing. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do the video. Thank you.
shall be made like him soon and very soon. Soon and very soon I'll be going to the place he has prepared for me. There my sin erased, my shame.
Blessed because Jesus is Lord. Blessed because soon and very soon, we're going to see him face to face. And there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow. We'll be given a name that only we know. It'll be written on a rock. And we will be like him. And so we have a lot to look forward to this morning, ladies, right? We don't have to be worried about the Rona, as my boys call it. We don't have to fear it. We're going to be careful and do our part. But we're going to appeal to the King because we're going to see him. And we're going to hear from him this morning through his word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have given us your Son. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you that we have this opportunity to hear from you so that we are ready and that the things that we have committed to you, you are definitely able to keep. So this morning, we give you praise and we give you honor. We give you thanks. Please speak to our hearts. Help us to put all of our trust in you this morning, Father God. Let us not look to the right or the left, but may we keep our eyes focused on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. So this morning, ladies, we're going to be learning about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we're going to spend our time today. So if you have your Bibles, please mark that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's verse 18. Where Paul is speaking to the church in Thessalonica. And in the 18th verse, Paul says, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. When Joy was referring to the scripture in 1 Timothy, I said 2 Timothy immediately because it's a passage of scripture that I particularly am fond of. And so when she said that this morning, so as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 4:18, I love 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And my prayer for us also this morning is that his word will do just that in our hearts. It'll teach us, rebuke us, correct, and train us in righteousness. Because in the days that we're living in, we need him. We need a spirit. We need the power of his word. We need his ability through the Spirit, because without that, ladies, it's going to be tough going. So my prayer is that God will toughen us up so that we will be able to do those good works that he prepared for us from the very beginning. All right. So last time I was here with you, the topic was forgive and forget. And I wanted to be reminded of that myself and to remind us all, because it's such a powerful principle of the character of God. He does forgive, he does forget. And the coming of the Lord is about the culmination of that. It's about the forgiveness of God and the fact that when we come into that reconciled relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus, that there is no wrath for us to experience. And I know that people have different beliefs when it comes to the tribulation. Some people say I'm pre, I'm mid, I'm post-tribulation. Personally, I'm going up in the first row. When Jesus says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up here, I'm saying, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. And so I just want to read from Micah 7:18 from before. It says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. And God doesn't want to judge us. He doesn't want to. That's why he sent his Son to give us a way of escape from that judgment. But we have a choice to make. I know many of you have been proposed to, right? You have husbands you've been proposed to. And Jesus, he makes his appeal to us. The Father is making his appeal to us through his Son. He's proposing. He's offering forgiveness and that forgetfulness for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. But if we decide that we're going to reject his proposal, his offer of forgiveness, then unfortunately, his word says there is no more hope apart from Jesus Christ. There's only one way for us to be forgiven, and that's through his Son. And in the book of Ephesians, I love to read this passage. It's actually Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. You don't have to turn there, but if you'd like to, you can. It's about the spiritual blessings that we receive as born again believers. Once we make that commitment, that surrender to Christ, he gives us spiritual blessings in return. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, all praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. In verse 4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. In whose eyes? In the world's eyes? In my eyes? No, in God's eyes. We're made holy and right in God's sight through him. God decided, verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Meaning God made a decision about us, ladies. He made a decision about us long before we were ever born. Long before our moms or our dads or whoever we grew up with gave us our names. He had a plan for us, and that plan included loving us and choosing us in Christ Jesus. We're made right in God's sight through the person of Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to God through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Romans 6:10, it says, when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. I love that scripture in Romans 6:10 because it gives our lives the purpose that we all look for prior to knowing Jesus. It's living for the glory of God. Jesus came, he put on human skin and became like us. He left the privilege of heaven and he became a man so that what? So that we could be forgiven and so the Heavenly Father would be glorified and magnified through us. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our hope. When the coming of the Lord, that day actually arrives, it's because of what we're doing now. We're living in him, through him, and by him. We've given up our own way for his. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you have to deny yourself. In one translation, it says that you have to give up your selfish ways. I don't know about you ladies, but I have a little problem with that. Giving up my selfish ways, right? I don't know how many of you are empty nesters, but I'm now an empty nester and I like it. I like it. I don't have to share and I don't have to cook. And that's the selfish part of me, right? That's that sinful nature, my sinful nature that wants to have the me, myself, and I on the pinnacle of my heart. But the Lord, by His grace, He enables us to deny ourselves. He enables us to put away those parts of ourselves by His grace and to do the things that Kay Smith in her program would say, does it please God? Does it please God? Is the way that I'm living, the way that I'm thinking, is it pleasing to Him? Because He's the one who's given me that grace, that mercy, the ability to put aside my selfish ways because of Him. It's all because of Jesus. In John 17 is the prayer of Jesus. And in the 17th verse, I really, really love this. It says, Jesus prays for His disciples, and He asked the Father to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And in Ephesians, we just saw in verses in chapter 1, 3 through 5, that God chose us to be in Christ and holy, set apart for Him. That's our justification. Our sanctification, on the other hand, that's a process. We're justified immediately. As soon as we recognize and we see our need for Christ, we can do this, y'all. We can do this. Exactly. Jesus said the rocks would cry out. I don't know about car alarms. But yes, He says that He wanted us to be sanctified by the truth of God, by the truth of God's word. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And that sanctification process is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We all come into our relationship with Jesus Christ with all kinds of yucky sin, all kinds of yuckiness. But as our relationship with Him grows, that sanctification process, that changing of our character, amen, that changing of our character, it happens. But once again, just like that initial proposal that Jesus makes to us all when He says and knocks on the door of our hearts and says, hey, come to Me. He calls us very sweetly, very gently into a relationship with Him. And then He wants to change everything. He wants to change everything in us. Because now we're in a new relationship. We're under new management. Before, who was her daddy? Who was it? Y'all know. Satan. He was our father. Before Christ, He's the one who leads us and guides us. But when Jesus comes in, He interrupts, stops, quenches, puts an immediate stop to in our hearts and in our lives. The power of what? Sin. And so moving on to Philippians 2:5-8, it says to have the mind of Christ. Right? So as a result of that sanctification process, we also can have the mind of Christ, meaning that we can think like He thinks. And the mind of Christ, first and foremost, is a humble mind. It's a humble mind. Jesus, in order to put on human skin and leave the eternal realms of heaven, He humbled Himself first. And we have to do the same thing. If we want to maintain our peace in these evil days, ladies, we must have the mind of Christ. And it begins with humility. And when we're being tossed and shaken as we are during this time, it's not very easy to do that. But with God, all things are possible. And with His Spirit living on the inside of us, we can have the mind of Christ. Not just humility, but from humility comes what? Peace. If we want peace, in spite of the chaos, in spite of the uncertainty, we're going to have to put on. We have to let this mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus in order to maintain our peace. Do you have loved ones that have yet to surrender? Those who you love, and the coming of the Lord is so soon. Like Joy said, He's able to keep what we commit to Him. And if we commit our loved ones to Him, He's able to keep them. In Psalm 86, 11, it says, "Teach me to walk in your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." The fear of the Lord is so important. The fear of the Lord is a choice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord enables me to turn away from evil, to turn away from my wicked and selfish ways. I can't look at the outside world and say, oh, look at what they're doing. Because in Romans 2, Paul reminds us, be careful. The same thing that you're judging and saying they should be condemned about, are you doing it? He asked the question. Romans chapter 2 is all about the Jews who had believed in Jesus, but at the same time thought that their outward circumcision is really what made them right in God's sight. They were depending on ritual, and we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing that they did, because they are human. They were human just like we are. And just like they were depending on circumcision, we can't depend on our church activities either. Whether that be this morning study, prayer, service of any kind, we can't depend on those activities, ladies. We must depend on the person, Jesus Christ, to make us right with God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." In Proverbs 1:22-31, it says, "How long will you simpletons insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge?" 23, it says, He's appealing to us. He's appealing to the world. "Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise." Do you want the Lord to share His heart with you? I want Him to share His heart with me. I want to know Him. I want to have His desires replace my selfish, self-motivated desires. I want to do the things that He wants me to do by His Spirit, because of His grace and because of His mercy. In 24, it says, "I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention." 25 says, "You ignored my advice and you rejected the correction I offered." So, He says, "I will laugh when you're in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me." Why? Why is God saying this? He says, because they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is so important for us, ladies. We have to keep that fear of Him in our hearts. That turning away from evil is the fear of the Lord. That turning away from my way or the highway is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, it brings life. It says in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility precedes honor. In Proverbs 16:6, it says, unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. And by fearing the Lord, ladies, by fearing the Lord, Proverbs 16:6 says, we avoid evil. We avoid it. In this very sinful world that we're in, we can avoid evil by fearing Him. And so as we jump into the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this book was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica, which today is the second largest city in Greece. The Apostle Paul wrote from Corinth to encourage the persecuted Christians in Thessalonica. He founded this church, and it was likely composed mostly of Gentiles. I know, I believe we do have some Messianic Jews that attend here at Refuge, but I think the majority of us are Gentiles. And so this church in Thessalonica is a lot like we are. We're Gentiles. We've come to faith in Christ. And Paul is writing to encourage them during their time of persecution. We're going to look at chapter 4, but quickly I just want to give just the overview of chapters 1 through 3. In chapter 1, Paul is commending them. He's commending this Gentile church. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, he says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Is your faith in God known everywhere? Is it known in your family, in your neighborhood, where you shop at the grocery store? Is your faith known? How do people know? One of the ways Jesus said that they would know is by our love for each other. And I know a lot of us think that the opposite of love is hate, but it isn't. It's indifference. And so we have to be careful, ladies, that in these evil days, when we see all the things happening around us that cause our hearts to grieve, that lawlessness won't cause our hearts to grow cold, won't cause our hearts to go cold toward those who are without Christ, who are doing things and being violent and doing things that make us afraid and make us worry. We cannot allow what we see around us to make our hearts grow cold, because Jesus is coming. He's coming back very soon. Then Paul goes on to say, therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who does what? Rescues us from the coming wrath. He's our rescuer. I believe Pastor Bill taught on that. Jesus being our rescuer, our first responder. And he rescues us from the coming wrath. In chapter 2, Paul is really talking about himself in chapter 2 from this standpoint. You know, Paul, I have to say, he's one of the people that I really would like to see when I get there. Jesus First and my grandmother. And then I really like to sit down and have a real long conversation with Apostle Paul, because that is my guy. He was beat up just about every place he went. He was rejected by the people that he worked with. He was a Pharisee. He was rejected by them. He was rejected by other Jews because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They beat him up just about everywhere he went. But he did not stop. He didn't let that stop him, ladies. And we can't let our personal obstacles stop us either from telling each other, or telling the people that we love, I should say, about the love of Jesus Christ and the coming wrath for those who have not accepted his forgiveness and his way of escape. Chapter three is all about Timothy's report. He comes back to Paul and he lets Paul know how this church that he founded is doing. And so as we get into chapter four, verse one through eight is about immorality, ladies. And so I'm going to start reading from the NIV at chapter four, verse one. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Remember that we're living to please God, ladies. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Verse two, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified as Jesus prayed for his disciples, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all their sins, as we have already told you and warned you. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Verse 9, we're going to go into now 9 through 12 is all about brotherly love. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. 11, it says, make your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I think all of those verses really admonish us in our everyday lives, right? Loving, minding our own business. And really and truly being occupied or preoccupied with doing the things that please the Lord. Now let's get into 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. These words are to encourage us that before God's wrath is poured out on this planet, for all of those who are disobedient, for all of those who have decided that they don't want to follow Jesus, that they still want to go their own way, and they want to do their own thing. That God will have a time of wrath. Chapter 5. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I don't know if you guys remember the story of Noah, right? Noah is a man. He's found to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. He's about 500 years old at the time when the Lord speaks to him. And he tells them, I need for you to start building a boat. And Noah is the first captain of a cruise ship. At least that's how I see it. For those of you who've gone on cruises, and my family likes to cruise, that was like a big old cruise ship, right? But it had a distinct purpose. It wasn't just to cruise. The reason why God spoke to him and said in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 3, Noah is 500 years old. God speaks to him, and God talks about 120 years of grace between the declaration of judgment and the appearance of that judgment. And so God was giving people time, that 120 years. He was giving people time to get themselves right in his sight. And I keep emphasizing that is because, you know, many people think, or we can think, that we can be made right in God's sight through, as I mentioned before, activities. And we're not made right in God's sight, just like the Jews weren't made right in God's sight through circumcision. It was actually the reverse, that circumcision was a result and an outward declaration, if you would, of what had happened in their hearts. And God said that Abraham was righteous because what? Because he believed God. And Noah, the same thing. God saw him as righteous because he believed God. And we today have to do the same thing. We have to believe God. And in Genesis 6, 5, it tells why God said, okay, it's time to destroy. In 6, 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Only evil all the time. This was God's evaluation of all the people on the earth at that time. And some say that the number was similar to the number that we have now. 7 billion. 7 billion people on the earth at that time. And how many went into the ark? 8. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. We want to be on that narrow way, ladies. We want to do things his way, and we want to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. The other thing that I wanted to point out, similar to the ark, was Lot. Do you remember Lot? Remember how he and Abraham had to part ways, right? Because they were fighting, there was strife, they're arguing, you know, arguments going on. So they had to split up. And so Abraham went one way and Lot went the other way. And in Genesis 18, it actually talks about the three visitors. There were three visitors that came. And I love how the Lord likes to do, he likes to hit a lot of marks with one stone, right? So he goes and he tells Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a son. One year from the day that the three visitors were in their camp, the Lord says, you're going to have a son. And she laughs and they say, why are you laughing? She's like, I'm not laughing. And Isaac, of course, his name means laughter, but he also comes to do, those three visitors come for another reason. And in Genesis 18:20, it says, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. And then moving down to Genesis 18:23 through 25, it says, Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? And if you're familiar with the story, you know, Abraham negotiates. He's interceding, right? He's interceding with God and saying, hey, if there's 10, he finally just says, if there's 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it? And the Lord says, I will not judge if there are 10. And so in 19, I found it interesting in Genesis 19, 1 through 12, and I'm not going to read it, but there were three visitors in 18. And in Genesis 19, two angels arrived in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The scripture doesn't say this, but it says the three visitors that were there in 18, now there's only two. I wonder if that third person was Jesus, that he had walked into the camp of Abraham and Sarah, and he'd made himself known to them like he's made himself known to us. In Romans 1, it says, nature declares the glory of God, so that we are all without excuse, ladies. Our loved ones, they're without excuse. There's no excuse for not accepting the grace and forgiveness that's offered through the person of Christ. And so as we go back to chapter 5 of Thessalonians and wrap things up, in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4, it says, but you brothers and sisters, you brothers, I added the sisters part, y'all. But you brothers and sisters are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. In 5 verse 7, it says, for those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. But let God, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let's continue to build each other up. Let's continue even after today. Let's study, let's meditate on God's word. I heard somebody by the name of Kay Arthur a few days ago on a podcast. I didn't know that she was like this famous teacher. but I was like, wow, I like this lady. You know, because she talked about the study of God's word. She also talked about how she was very worried about us ladies. She says she was very worried that we would become like the women that are talked about in 2 Timothy 3, because we're failing to study God's word. She says she's very worried about what she's hearing when she goes to conferences and she hears women speakers, and she's just very concerned about us. And I said to myself, oh, wow, Lord, if this lady's concerned about us, then we must be in pretty bad shape. And so as we, you know, go through our day, let's just take time to meditate on God's word. Let's take time to study it. Let's take time to understand what it means, and not what it means to you, but what it means. Because we have a lot of that in our world. Your truth and what it means to me, and this is my truth. And God is not into your truth or mine either. He is into the truth. And so let's meditate on the truth. Let's study it. Let's memorize it, because God's word is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Everything is open and naked before Him. In Him, there is nothing hidden. So let us be honest with God and with ourselves, ladies. Let's not be like those who, for whatever reason, have refused to do things God's way. Let's do things His way. And finally, one of my favorite scriptures, they're all my favorite, I know, but I really do like Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, since in the New Living Translation, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith or justification, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We look forward to sharing His glory. We look forward to sharing in His suffering as well, because we can't have God's glory without the suffering. He suffered, and we will as well. We all have our things that we have to deal with, and I'm just so grateful to God to see Rocky here this morning. I'm so grateful to see God's faithfulness in action, ladies. So if Rocky can do it, she's being strengthened by the power and the mercy of God. We have no excuse. That's God's faithfulness at work. So trust in Him. Give your whole heart to Him. Leave nothing missing, nothing broken, because He's near to the brokenhearted, and He sets us free from the things that bind us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this day, for this privilege that You gave us to come together around Your word. And today, Lord God, would You remind us, would You remind us to keep Your word hidden in our hearts so that we don't sin against You? Would You, Father God, help us by Your Spirit to do things Your way? Teach us Your way, Father. May we walk in Your truth. May You unite our hearts to fear Your name. And Father, if there are those who are listening now who don't have a relationship with You, who don't know You through Your Son, we just ask, Father, that You would work by Your Spirit to draw them so that they can enjoy the eternal life and so that they can experience Your coming with great anticipation, great love, and in honor and in pleasing to You. It's in Your Son's name that we thank You and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to run to work, ladies, but thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, Shannon has to get right off to work, and boy, what a good word was that, huh? Yay! Thank you so much for sharing with us, Shannon, this morning, and we're excited to see how God's going to use this, because He is going to use it, right? Who did not get anything from what she just said? Okay, yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think there were any. And you know what really stood out to me? And you will laugh at this because I laughed at it when the Lord told me. When that alarm went off, that was from the Lord. That was definitely from the Lord. The Lord was telling us, ladies, pay attention. Because we're out here and we can easily get distracted. We can easily get distracted by what's going on with COVID. We can easily get distracted by what we can't do, what we're not allowed to do. We get distracted by all the different things. And the Lord has given us an alarm and he said, pay attention. Pay attention to the day that you're living in. These are the last days. I am coming for my church. I am coming for you. Draw close to me. The Lord Jesus wants us to be close to him. He wants us to be so close to him. When we talk about that fear of the Lord, we're talking about that same sort of thing that you have with your parents. Now, most of us probably had at least an okay dad, right? So you didn't want to do what was wrong because you would get in trouble with dad. It's not that we serve the Lord because we don't want to get in trouble. It's that we serve the Lord that we don't want to suffer the consequences, which is saying the same thing. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to suffer the consequences of not doing what God has told us. Early on when we came to this church, I had a disagreement with some ladies that wanted to do things a certain way, and I was new to it, and I just, I remember the Lord giving me a time of prayer and just being able to say to that, to the person that I am not willing to suffer the consequences of disobedience to God to make you happy. That's where God wants us to be. Not willing to suffer the consequences of disobedience to God to make someone else happy, even myself, to even make myself happy for a moment. Most of us have moved out of our comfort zone. Is there anybody right now that's living in their comfort zone? Yeah, I didn't think so. Everything has changed, hasn't it? Everything that we depended on before is gone. It's all gone. It's been stripped away. Everything that we went, oh, well, I need to go shopping and this will help. No, can't do that. Okay. Well, we're going to go out and have a party. No, can't do that. Okay, I'm going to go. Nope, can't do that. Whatever it is. But you know what? We can go to the Word of God and he says, you can do this and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. No matter what it is that you're looking at right now in your life, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're hearing, no matter what is going on in your life right now, God's got this. You are not alone. You are not alone. Those who are listening and you're sitting in your house and you're sitting there by yourself and you're feeling like this is all I have to hang on to and I am all alone. But no, you're not all alone. You are never alone. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are with me. God is with us and a very present help in time of need. And we have a need. I have a need. My need is to walk closely with the Lord, to follow closely behind him, to walk in his footsteps, to be covered by the dust of my rabbi. I don't know if you have ever heard that term before. One of the things as the rabbis were teaching and the disciples that followed him would be listening, and it was referred to, they were following so closely that the dust of his shoes would go up and it would get on them. I'm walking in the dust of my rabbi. So closely that I'm being covered by what his is being cast off from him, so to speak. But God's got this. Thou shalt not sweat it. Okay? We're going to walk through this. We're going to walk victoriously through this time, through the rest of this year. And, you know, we're going to have something, some kind of an event in December. women will have some kind of an event in December. We're not sure what that event's going to look like, but I believe that God has told me that we are going to have some kind of event. So stay tuned so that we can work on that. And also, please let me know, as far as the Bible study is concerned, we will set up a registration for the Bible study. So on that registration, we'll send me something and let me know if you want books or if you want it on online to be able to pick it up weekly. So keep doing great things for God. You have everything you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do, whatever that is. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. I thank you that you close my mind and don't allow me to talk when you're done saying things, Lord. Thank you that you walk with us. Thank you, Lord, that you've covered us. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us. Father, I pray for those who are suffering right now. Lord God, they're either suffering through illness, or they're suffering from somebody else's, something that's happened to them because of someone else. Whatever those situations are, Lord, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your hand on them right now, and that they would, that we would all sense your nearness, Lord. That we would all be there for each other. That we would be strengthened and encouraged by the power of your might. Lord, I lift up Bree to you right now, who's in the midst of her chemo for today, Lord, her other appointment, 2:15 today. Father, I pray against the headaches that are happening from it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just sustain her through this time. Lord, we pray that the chemo would do its work. We pray that you would do your work in the midst of it, that you would strengthen her, that you would heal her. And we know, Lord, that you have her right in the palm of your hand. So we thank you, we praise you, we bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week is our last week of meeting for our summer series. And Cher Pye is going to be here with us. So, you know, we may, who knows, we may do something special. Who knows? It could happen. So, anyway, God bless you guys. Be sure to pick up a cup of coffee before you leave. And anyone who wants to help put away chairs, we will gladly accept it. Accept your help. God bless you guys. And if there's anybody that needs prayer, please let me know. Okay?
We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe. But you said that we could come before you as we are. As we are. Welcome.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Summer Series episode recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry or call us at 714-891-9495.